You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Luke Elder in the studio. It's Catrick, Lingfield and Uttoxeter on Wednesday afternoon, Sandown and Yarmouth in the evening on the domestic front, and we've also got racing over the Irish Sea as well on Wednesday evening from Killarney, a mixed card of action to look forward to there. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks Mark, good to be here.
Good. I feel like I haven't seen you for a little while.
Everyone keeps saying that.
Where have you been, Andy?
I know, yeah. Who's come back? I'm worked with Bruni for quite a while, but we're sharing the radio at Waves this afternoon, and it's just because of some little young whippersnapper that's preventing me from getting up here as much as I would have liked.
Yeah.
But it's all good, yeah.
So it's not a bad trade-off, is it, really?
It's not a bad trade-off, no. There are plenty of positives to be taken.
Yeah, good, nice. All going well then, happy? Happy yeah. Father?
Yeah, it's good being a dad. Yeah, more responsibility and all that. you end up sort of doing things that you probably wouldn't have imagined you'd be doing a year ago. Or you're changing nappies.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting weed on.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. Fun and games, but I've perfected the nappy changing now. I've got that sorted.
You got that with one arm, stop clocking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, funny enough, yeah, I did. I've got that, balancing him on my one leg while he's watching the racing and while I'm timing a race.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is he going to be a budding racing fan then?
He's going to be into something sporting. It'll be football, cricket, golf. We'll be attending and watching most of and playing most of these things.
Yeah.
Still laughing the old dog yet, you know. I can still hold a ball, hold a racket, throw a ball. Yeah. Yeah,
good. You'll have to find him a better football club though.
Oh, I don't know about that. He's already got a mini Liverpool shirt with Holding on the back of it.
Oh, nice. Very good. Nice.
Yeah. Just like to go with the big with his dad's one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pride of place in the office.
Wear them together.
Yeah, side by side.
Oh, you got them on the wall.
We got our ages on there. Well, not our ages, but mine's Holding 68 with my birth date. And he's Holding 17, year 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. That's a lovely touch.
Yeah.
Nice. Racing then, Andy. Yes. We should probably talk about racing on here. you want to talk about some new jockey arrangements we're going to see as well to start with?
Yeah, I think it's a good time to talk about Ben Paulin's new acquisition there. Dale Jacob, who's obviously been riding for, largely speaking, Paul Nicholls and Nigel Twiston-Davis and Simon Meunier in more prominence in recent times. And Daryl is one of those jockeys that has always been associated with one or two really good horses, but now he's got a chance to sort of really go into a yard, up and coming. They've obviously proven themselves last year with the win of Willoughby Court at the festival that they are ready to hit the big time.
Mm.
And I think it's quite nice as well for Daryl to sort of come out of the shadow of some of the jockeys also associated with his connections and get stuck into a new project. I think the two of them will work really well. They obviously know each other well, you know, from the same sort of like background and areas that they would have crossed swords before, because Ben Paulin's been Nicky Henderson's was Nicky Henderson's assistant, and I'm sure Daryl Jacob's ridden plenty of work when he's been riding for Simon Meunier's horses that Nicky obviously trained. So I think it's I'll say marriage made in heaven, because only time will tell, but I don't disagree with it, and I think it'd be good.
Okay, positive move there. Daryl Jacob now riding for Ben Pauling. Johnny Burke's also going to be riding for New Connections, and he's going to team up with Charlie Longsden, the Potts partnership behind, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, because of his injuries, I think the Potts had their hand forced in many respects, didn't they, Mark? You know, they needed someone to ride their better horses. Johnny was always suffering from one injury after another. He had a broken collarbone. I think he did a leg, and he had problems with various other parts of his body which have not played ball over the last year or so. And it's meant that he's obviously fallen out of favour and just fallen into the wilderness, really. But he's a very good jockey. You know, he was riding some very good horses until all those injuries took hold of his career. Charlie Longson has used some really good pilots in recent times. You know, more predominantly David Bass. He rides quite a few of Charlie's, and he does ride. It looks for Aidan Coleman and people like that. But now I think with Johnny Burke, he's got a proper stable representative who, very similar to Adrian Heskin, who has come over from Ireland and is going to be fresh. You know, a new environment, new stable, and I think they can really kick on as well.
Mm. He's still only 21, Johnny Burke, as well.
Absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Been around for a while, doesn't he? But still only 21, plenty of years left in him. So,
if he can just stay healthy,
yeah,
and avoid any further incidents and accidents, then hopefully he can have a good association with Charlie Longson.
Mm. So that's some jockeys, and let's talk about some horses, some equine chat now. Bit of a glance towards Glorious Goodwood. We don't have to go into too much depth here, Andy, because it's still a little while away. But we're going to have another duel on the downs in the Sussex Stakes. Ribchester 8-11 at the top of the market there. 7-4 Churchill. Zelzal, the French Raider, is 8-1, then 10-1 or bigger prices for the rest. Is it a match between Ribchester and Churchill if they turn up?
It looks that way, doesn't it? They're the two genuine Group One, star performers, aren't they, in their own generation?
Yeah.
Ribchester, the older representative, the older brigade, of course, won the Queen Anne. He won the lock-ins the time before. His time figures are great. He's just a very professional horse now, isn't he? Now he's proven that he stays a mile well. Of course, he come from the 6 furlong, 7 furlong ranks.
Yeah.
He's adaptable on pretty much all goings. You know, he's won on good to firm. The only thing we don't know is whether he handled Goodwood as well. But you could say the same about Churchill.
Yeah.
Who's been running over stiff tracks, you know, Ascot, your Curras. And obviously he comes off the back of a slightly below par effort in the big race at Royal Ascot when he was only fourth behind Barney Roy, of course, and St James's Palace. Whether he's quite 100% that day, we don't know. We're left with sort of like a willy won't he kind of scenario with him.
Hmm.
But he's, you know, he doesn't become a bad horse overnight, and a lot will be down to tactics. And I'm sure that Godolphin, Ballydore, will make sure that there's plenty of pace on here, because you can already see one or two of their horses in the lineup or in the betting, the likes of Spirit of Valor, Cougar Mountain, Lancaster Bomber, the same foot soldiers that are often used in these kind of tactical races where there'll be plenty of pace on.
Yeah. Lancaster Bomber has been in every race at Churchill's, running, I think, so
he
far
has,
this season. So,
yeah. He beat him last time.
He did, finished second, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he looked like winning, to be fair, at one stage.
Yeah. If you had to pick a selection in the race now, do you have one?
You'd probably go with Ribchester, although the market is
founders.
Yeah, they don't really make that much appeal to me. I wouldn't back it at 8-11 on the day if I knew it was running.
Yeah.
But he's the most likely winner.
Okay. We've got another shorty as well for the Goodwood Cup. I think it's the first year it's been run under Group 1 status. Big Orange has won the last two renewals, coming for a hat-trick of successes in the Goodwood Cup. Even money, because his main danger is not going to turn up in the shape of Order of St George.
Yeah, it's a disappointment. It's a not disappointment to fans of Big Orange, and that is becoming an ever-increasing mob. Particularly after his Royal Ascot victory, when he was tough in the finish, tough all the way around. And that's the great thing about him. And he's won at Goodwood as well. He won there last year. So, he's an all-out, heart on the sleeve stayer that the crowd, you know, really warm to.
Yeah.
He's very similar to the old horse that died at Ascot many, many moons ago, that the front runner that won all those big cup races, that used to be trained by David Ellsworth, that always used to make all... I can't remember his name now. Would help if I can remember things like that. That's what happens when you become a dad and you've got other things to think about. He always used to go off in front and dominate, but unfortunately collapsed and died at Ascot many, many years back. I don't think he actually won the Gold Cup either, but he won a hell of a lot of races, a lot of the Sagaro Stakes and things like that.
Right. Okay.
But I'm not sure whether he actually won the Gold Cup. We'll try and find it. David Ellsworth trained anyway. Jeff Smith Colours. He won the Jockey Club Cup Stakes at Newmarket as well. Have you put up the cigar? There, Persian Punch. There we go.
Persian Punch, there it is.
1998. God, it's further back than I thought. Yeah.
Remember, time flies, eh?
Yeah, remember Persian Punch?
Well, I was
very similar type to that started life as a middle distance mile and a quarter, mile and a half handicapper, worked his way through, won a few decent races, then all of a sudden they thought, right, we'll step him up. And then he just went from strength to strength. But he never, I don't think he won the Gold Cup, but he won a hell of a lot of those races.
Yeah. I was just 10 years old when he won that race.
Yeah.
He won the, no, he didn't win the Ascot Gold Cup.
Yeah, he won the Goodwood Cup, Lonsdale. Yeah, won loads of big races.
Yeah. Triple Jockey Club Cup winner.
Yeah, that was it. Newmarket used to really suit him.
Yeah.
Very difficult horse to get past.
But we digress.
We do.
But
it's a bad digress.
Yeah, but people warming to Big Orange. I mean, he's a great... He's just a battler, isn't he? His attitude's brilliant. He's a nice big horse as well. And I'm a big fan of Big Orange, to be fair.
He's just a lovely horse to watch, isn't he? You like to see these stayers really give it all on the track. And you take him on at your peril. Mm. I think one or two... jockeys have tried to sort of ruffle his feathers, but it's to their own detriment, to be honest. And he finds plenty of pressure as well off the bridle. So hopefully he can justify his position in the Goodwood Cup.
Yeah, be a nice sight to see. Big Orange even money for the Goodwood Cup as it stands. We'll move on to that later on, of course, because we've still got a couple of weeks or so until we need to focus on Goodwood. Let's focus on matters close to hand, Andy. We've got some racing coming up on Wednesday, and you've got three races prepared for us, three evening meeting races as well. So saving the powder till the night time. And first race you picked out is a 6.05 at Sandown, which is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. Field of 7 set to go to post for this. What's caught your eye in there?
Yeah, I like the trajectory of Tahu. Carl Burke's charge. I do like the way this horse won last time out in a very fast time. Obviously, being a speed figure man, I'm always keen on highlighting horses who seem to improve not only visually but on the clock as well. And that race that he won last time out at Windsor was a serious burn up. Basically, just burst out the stalls, got to the front, and she never looked like getting caught, Mark, even though Major Jumbo, the favourite that day, threw down a persistent challenge later on. She was always holding that horse. There were big distances back to the likes of Tomalee and Cool Finch, who also run well subsequently in victory and defeat. Mm. The fact that Cool Finch never really got into the race suggests it was a decent handicap. And Sandown is very much a front runner's track as well. If you can dominate, get out and get onto that far rail. And drawn is still 3. She's got every opportunity of doing that because one of her main dangers, Fair Cop, is drawn 7. And the other horse with a major chance, Isolot, is drawn 6. Askerdale probably slower away from stall 1. So you'd like to think in the hands of Oisin Murphy, Tahu will be able to bag the far side Golden Highway.
Yeah. Right, Tahu then to follow up there in the 6.05 at Sandown. The next race we look at is also at Sandown. This is the 8.10. Class 4 handicap over just short of a mile and a quarter. Field of 9 set to go to post for this one. And pretty warm 3-year-old handicap this. There's several nice 3-year-olds in there.
There is, yeah. A lot of these are coming here off the back of good performances, victories and in defeat. And the one I quite like actually did get beat as a beaten favourite last time out, but I thought it was a really good effort by Ein Hallow, who had a gelding operation after a reasonably eye-catching and promising 3-year-old campaign. Won first time off the shelf at 20-1, but certainly there was no fluke about that performance because Secret Advisor, who was well-backed and thought upon by the Godolphin Yard to be a handicap certainty that day, got mown down by Roger Charlton's charge with a good turn of foot in the latter stages. They pulled well clear of the rest, which included the likes of War Chief, Native Prospect, and the well-fancied Paradise Lake, who seemingly went into that race strongly or well-handicapped. And the time figure was pretty good. He therefore went back to Goodwood equally strong in the betting over the same course and distance. But unfortunately, he pulled very hard in a slowly run tactical affair, which didn't play into his strengths. But I actually thought he did quite well to finish third, given so much energy expended in the early stages. And I think he's a good bit better than what that form book tells us. So, Ein Hallow, hopefully with a decent pace of shootout, will get back on track.
Yeah, I think I was in the studio that night. I remember watching that race because Jamie Spencer got the usual flack that he gets for a hold-up performer not getting there, but they went such a dawdling pace early on, he didn't stand a chance of getting there.
He didn't. It was just a funny topsy-turvy race, really, which didn't really suit him. But there's more runners tonight, and I think it's going to be more even a more even gallop as well. Sandown often lends itself to that.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be suited by the stiff upper track as well, whereas Goodwood, they get away from you running downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Ein Hallow then, the selection in the 8.10 at Sandown. And final race we look at is the 8.40... Sorry, I've gone backwards in time. The 6.45 at Yarmouth is where we should have gone earlier on anyway. But let's look at the race at Yarmouth. 6.45 is a Class 2 handicap, a mile and a quarter. Pretty good handicap for Yarmouth.
Yeah.
It looks good for the course.
Yeah, I'm going to give one more chance to Barocco, who's been a little bit of a disappointment, it has to be said, on his last couple of runs. He was unlucky at Epsom on Derby Day when he was at never near a fifth behind Not So Sleeping. For the track and the style of racer, it was a very muddling contest. They didn't go much of a gallop, and this horse pulled and expended a lot of energy and then didn't get the best of runs down the straight. He was then very well fancied to run well in the Old Newton Cup at Haydock several weeks ago. But he conclusively proved that he didn't stay a mile and a half mark.
Yeah,
he looked quite threatening, actually, with around about two furlongs to run. But his stamina just gave way, and he didn't get on terms with the front runners. But the time figure of that race suggested it was a good race. And Big Country, the first horse to come out of that heat, ran a blinder in when dropped back in trip in the John Smiths on Saturday. So I'm pretty sure that this time figure is going to work out. And I'm prepared to give Barocco another go now, dropping back to his ideal distance. A distance, of course, he won over when he won the Sitting Suburban earlier in the year in a good time figure. I actually think this is a significant drop down in class to what he's been running against of late. And because there's a smaller field as well, it means that he won't be as far back as what he normally is used to. So hopefully Barocco, who's a course winner, can get back on track there in that competitive-looking handicap.
Yeah, I see you're coming from there. Course winner at Yarmouth, won on undulating tracks like Epsom as well, and he's used to these big Saturday handicaps. This will be a little bit easier for him, won't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Like I say, he's been running Grade 1 tracks on the big days, and there have been, like I say, mitigating circumstances. He might have won with a better run at Epsom. He wouldn't have won last time out, but he didn't stay the trip.
Yeah.
And Andrew Baldwin's quickly worked that out. He's thinking, OK, let's get him back to basics.
Yeah.
And let's find a mile and a quarter race a little bit softer. And it's certainly no more competitive than the race he won at Epsom, the Sitting Suburban.
No.
So he'll have every chance. I presume he'll be favourite as well tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, if they go anywhere near this tissue, I'll be backing him anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the tissue of 8-1 is anywhere near what he's likely to be. I would say somewhere more like 3-1.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Barocco, the selection in the 6:45 at Yarmouth. Thank you very much, Andy. Just
no problem.
A quick summary then.
Yep.
Barocco there in the three.
I can remember him this time without you prompting me.
Yeah, okay. Well,
6:05 Sandown Tahoe.
Yeah.
Barocco. 6:45 Yarmouth and 8:10 Sandown Iron Hallow.
And you even got me in the correct order
there
as well.
There you go.
Well done,
not
sir.
Like you with them all over the place.
Yeah. It's a jigsaw of a podcast, but thank you very much, Andrew. Andrew? I don't know why I called you Andrew.
It's fine. Andrew's good, yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
No problem at all.
There you go. The thoughts of Andy Holding on Wednesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:45 PM. Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Luke Elder, the team in the studio. Catrick Lingfield and Ute Soxer in the afternoon. Sandown, Yarmouth and Killarney in the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.